behind my vehicle. We have.
Nice. Did they hear that?
Everyone, this is Paul through the chair. Did everybody hear that?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Scott.
That's better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is Scott. I'd like to call the meeting order at this time. Mary, would you be so kind as to read the roll call?
Yeah. If you can't hear me, let me know. In the room, I have Chair Scott Nelson. John Rockwell, Lieutenant Enders, Bruce Richter, David Reed, myself, Paul Fussy, Ryan Jones, Scott Stormo, and Evan Rockwell. On the phone, I have Aaron, Henry Cole, John Crona, Carl Edwards, Donnie Lane, Pete Rogel. I do have some numbers on there that I don't know who the people are.
(907) 322-9352 is Keith Berrien.
Thank you, Keith.
I didn't think you were going to make it. Okay. I have 5141 and 1326.
1326 is Jim Goodman.
Perfect. Thank you.
Nice.
6-2. 1326.
And then, so we do have a quorum.
Great. Do we have any special guests on the line today?
Dakota Romelli from City of Palmer.
Well, thank you for attending, Mr. Romelli. With that, I guess we can move on to the review and approval of the minutes. As everyone had a chance to review them, there were about 15 pages worth. Any call for changes at this time? Hearing none, can I entertain a motion to approve?
John Rockwell approved.
And a second?
This is Henry Cole. I will second.
Thank you, Henry. Hearing no objections or a call for any further discussion on this, I think we can say the motion is passed. Let's move on to the issues and risk log. Mr. Fussy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. So the updates that we do have are for the R1 North battery plant. I had a briefing from Mr. Jeremy Rose today. He is our Motorola rep for the base. And the batteries have been ordered. They were on back order that we were expecting them this week. However, they will be here in the first week in March. And then from there, they will be installed into R1 North. So I will update that as we go. But unfortunately, I was just briefed on that right before the meeting, so I have not updated that, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions regarding the issues in this log?
Do we have any update on the Birch Hill interference issue?
So through the chair, Mr. Barham, that has been worked on with DOD up there by the Birch Hill site, and they're working with FCC to get a hold of those individuals that are doing the illegal carrier up there. So that's what I have for right now, Mr. Barham.
Thank you.
Okay, without anything else, moving on to action items. Mr. Fussman?
So, Mr. Chair, the only action item we have is for Mr. Rockwell, and we will brief that and brief all the agencies when we have the APX Next radios on there. So it's a carryover from October 2023, but we're still waiting for FedRAMP approval. Once we have that, then we'll start with the N70 portables, and we'll ask Motorola to come out and give a Smart Connect and give a briefing on there. For a follow-up, Mr. Reed, do we have any updates for our FedRAMP, sir?
No, I checked within the last hour, and it's still in finalization.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reed. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and with that, are there any extra questions for the action items? Okay, hearing none, Paul, would you provide the OMO updates at this time?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we'll starting out with the operations management. We'll go right down the checklist. So under training, Mr. Dan Nelson and I are setting up our program for the year. And if everyone remembers, we did ask at the last user council meeting for some suggestions and ideas for training. So through August, some of the classes that we'll have and putting out for video vignettes, cybersecurity, FedRAMP, AWARN versus ALMR, the ALMR governances, the battery basics, how the push-to-talk works, ALMR site PMI, and also radio interference. And that'll be our schedule through August. And just another plug, if anybody has any ideas or suggestions for training, we'll be happy to entertain them and add them to our section. So going for outreach, just as a reminder for everyone, the 34th legislative session will start on January 21st. And as they go through, you can go on their website and see any bills that are going on, especially when it compares to our budget and how it affects a lot of people. But the new 34th legislative session starts January 21st. Sorry, yep, 21st. On December 16th, the SMO, OMO, DOD, Scott Storm and his team met with ELCOM and some of their cybersecurity members to discuss possible upgrades to the system on there, and we'll have more meetings further on with that. I sent out some emails to individuals that it affects, some of the local fire chiefs and fire inspectors, but the MTUG, which is Motorola Trunk Users Group, they're going to be having a BDA subcommittee on January 14th at 11 o'clock Alaska Standard Time. That is a Teams meeting. If anybody wants to be informed of what they're talking about later on, any slide decks or anything, send me an email and I'll have you I'll send them out to you. But that's dealing with the NFPA's, the fire codes, the international fire codes on BDAs, which are bidirectional amplifiers for buildings, and how that's going to affect us in Alaska on that one. The APIP meeting, which is the Alaska Partnership for Infrastructure Protection, they'll be meeting on January 16th. And then, as a reminder for everyone, the Executive Committee for ALMR is meeting on January 16th at 1:30. That'll be on Teams, and Mary will send that out to everyone. The Alaska APCO meeting will be held on January 23rd, and APCO deals a lot with dispatch centers, emergency operations centers, so they have their Alaska meeting. That'll be January 23rd at 2 o'clock, and the point of contact for that is will be Nicole Becker. The ALMR quarterly newsletter, that has been completed. I just picked that up today, and they will be sent out on January 15th. And Mary also put that out on our website. So moving on to the system upgrade, we already discussed the battery replacement for R1 North. The battery upgrade for the Zone 1 master site has been completed. So Side A and Side B are done. And the TAS and TAN, those are our two portable towers and dispatch containers. They're still being upgraded by Motorola on base. They're both still down here in the J-Bear area, but they're being upgraded. Does anybody have any questions for me before I move over to the document review or the metrics?
This is John Rockwell through the chair, Paul Fussy. Thank you so very much for the training videos. I want to give a kind of a shout out regarding the Anabar website and what incredible resources you have put on there. Just going to the training page, there are dozens of very valuable trainings, and I encourage everybody, to look on that website every once in a while when they can, because something new's coming up all the time. So thank you, Paul.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Rockwell. So moving on to our document reviews. So for the policies and procedures, the security controls review, radio usage and transmission protocols, the system account controls, system vulnerability management, vendor equipment evaluation, and then the other documents we've done are roles and responsibilities and system description. Since November, December, kind of a slow time for field work, that's when the bulk of the policies and procedures are reviewed. And each one, as you go onto the website, each one is reviewed yearly. So we've got it broken up into a section on there. So we'll go to the metrics. So as we look at the end of 2024 for calls, we had 1,533,657. The monthly push-to-talks were 2,402,130, almost identical to last year at this time. The monthly busies were 210, and just remember, a bunch of zeros followed by a one, less than 1%. And that goes to Scott and his team with the SATs, and then Nick and his team with their PMIs, keeping the towers up. The subscriber counts were 32,677. So that's how many radios are on the system last month, 32,677. For sites below 3.9s, we only had four. So we had Hill 3265, Pole Hill, and Quarry Hill. That was December 26th. There was no power to the media converters at Quarry Hill, and that caused multiple power outages. But we worked with the folks up in Fairbanks, and they went and reset everything for us. And the other one was Hurricane. That was a failed generator on 30 December. And through the chair, Mr. Stormwell, that has been fixed, sir.
Which one?
The Hurricane.
Yeah, it's not our generator, but it's a generator-powered area, and they got it restarted or whatever. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stormwell. Any questions on the metrics before I can cover a little bit more on them?
I just want to make a comment about the subscribers on the system. The Nick's not here to say what the exact number is, so I don't know, but we are approaching our license limit for how many subscribers are allowed on the system. We can buy more licenses if we had to, but I've given that up only because I'm pretty sure there's older radios that haven't been removed off the system. So if that isn't an encouragement for people to maybe pull some of the old radios off the system, that would be good, because we don't want to buy more licenses if we don't really need to. And we don't want to suddenly get to where we can't add some of the radio because we hit the ceiling. So.
Through the chair, Mr. Stormo. On our metrics on here, some of my notes on here. So the subscriber count is 32,677. There are different organizations that are getting their TDMA radios in. So as of July 1, we've increased 978 radios on the system. So to follow up what Mr. Stormo was saying, if you have updated your radios and put your TDMA radios on there, please fill out a subscriber account, subscriber request, and have your older radios removed. Because it's nice to see that increase, but 970 radios since July 1, that means there's a lot of older radios that could be removed off the system on there. For the annual system, and this is from July 1, January 1 to December 31st or 2024. Total calls for the year, 17,714,270. Push to talk, 28,797,345. And for busies, we had 7,232 for the year, but for the whole year, 0.004% busies for the whole year.
Well, just
through the chair, yes, Mr. Chair.
Did you say 28 million push to talk?
Through the chair, Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct.
Thank
for the year.
For the year.
Yeah, 28 million. Any questions on the metrics, anyone? Okay, moving on, under other. So this is more for the dispatch centers, 911 operators, but it's kind of a lengthy paragraph, so bear with me as I read through that. The FBI has updated their CJIS, or the Criminal Justice Information Service security policy, that took effect October 1st. It marks a significant shift in how the agencies must approach cybersecurity. Among the most critical updates are those found in sections 5.15 and 5.19, which introduce stringent system integrity and risk assessment requirements. The requirements are enforced through the FBI's rolling agency audits, and any agency with access to CJIS is subject to these audits, including emergency communication centers and other agencies that are granted access to the CJIS database. So I encourage everyone to take a look at that. I did send out a workbook on that that highlights the changes on there to the different dispatch centers and to our SWCC today. So if anybody has any questions, either reach out to myself or your dispatch centers, and that'll have more information on there. Two reports, the annual IA and UC assessment, they'll be going out to the user council via email later on this week, and we'll like everyone to take a look at it, make sure that it's approved, there's any changes on there, but look for an email from Mary on those two annual reports. Also, some positive news, Nick and I have been working with different agencies to turn on TDMA. As we all know, December 31st, 2026, is the goal to have all radios on a system TDMA capable. However, with the upgrade complete, I've worked with the Seward Fire Department and Western Emergency Services, and next week we anticipate turning on their talk groups to TDMA. So those two agencies will start using TDMA next week. Those two agencies, we've been working with them. Majority, if not all of their radios, are already TDMA capable. They're a smaller area, smaller footprint, so as we turn the spigot on, we're going to start expanding out to larger and larger agencies and going on there. But as we start moving through there, expect calls from either Nick or I to start turning on your talk groups to TDMA. But starting next week, those two agencies will be on TDMA.
Well,
through the chair, yes, Lieutenant Enders.
How will that affect? Well, I think I know, but so troopers in that area that may have a non-TDMA radio and Seward Fire, is it going to knock that tower down to the legacy capacity if they're using a non-TDMA radio in the area, the other agency?
Through the chair, Lieutenant Enders, that is correct. So if you have another agency that has an FDMA radio and they want to talk to Seward Fire Department, we're going to lose a channel. It's not, so let's say you have a three-channel site, that is going to go to five channels. You have one control channel and four operating. If you have someone with an FDMA radio that's talking to someone with a TDMA radio, it'll drop down to four channels instead of five for that site. Does that clarify, sir?
It'll just affect that tower in that area then.
That's correct. That's why we're looking for those smaller agencies. Yeah. Keep in mind, Seward Fire Department, they don't use ALMR a lot. So working with their team, they're actually going to have a couple radios on ALMR and using ALMR for us for testing purposes. Because this time of year, talking to the chief, they don't use ALMR that much. They use their conventional channels there. But for us, they're doing that.
So
So just to add a little bit more to that, it is by talk group on the tower. So if there's an FDMA radio on a talk group or a TDMA radio on a talk group on the same tower, it will broadcast an FDMA. It goes to the lowest common denominator. If it's just TDMA radios on that tower, then that channel will be TDMA on the tower. If somebody else is on another tower FDMA, that they will use FDMA on the other tower. So bigger agencies like the troopers, who are spread all over the place touching a lot of towers, would be provide the most benefit to those gotten to TDMA radios. Yeah. A place like Seward, they're just one tower, one themselves, so it's not like a system-wide impact.
So through the chair of the tenders, we specifically picked those two agencies because of the smaller footprint they have. So that way, if there's any issues, we're not affecting all the agencies.
So the top groups aren't all turned over to TDMA yet. That's why the system has been set to TDMA, but the top groups have to be enabled for TDMA. That hasn't happened yet. They're doing this kind of a slow test with a couple of groups of people, and then just to make sure there's nothing wrong, there shouldn't be. Well, there's half of the systems in the country are running on TDMA, so it's not like this is new technology, but new to us, so we want to, you know, put a foot in the water before we jump straight in.
Thank you. Any other questions for myself? That completes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. That was excellent. The next item would be the Systems Management Office overview. You're going to, yeah, that's right. Oh, you'll take it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, in Nick's absence, I'll go ahead.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, for the group, Nick is out this week. I just have one thing that I've been asked to bring up through his office. We had a huge weather event down here, and I know it's snowing, you know, foot and a half in Cantwell right now. However, down here in Anchorage in the Kenai Peninsula, we've had a lot of rain and high wind, and I keep track of different weather stations around the state, and the Tin Can weather station, which is in Turnagain Pass, that's managed by the 2-Dash Avalanche Center. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, their wind anemometer hit 111 miles per hour. So hurricane force winds are 100 miles an hour. So we did have a little bit of bouncing in a couple sites, but the AMR system kept running through the basically hurricane force wind. So that's one thing that Nick and his team wanted to bring up, that hurricane force winds, there are a little bit of bouncing incidences on there, but the AMR system worked very well through that. That was all I had for him, Mr. Chair.
Wow. So we have on record that it's lasted through a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, and it's survived almost a Cat 2 hurricane. So that's pretty good. Pretty robust. anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Okay, here nothing. The next item is the state and DOD updates. Mr. Stormo, floor is yours. If like.
Not a whole lot to add, just a quick update on the upgrade project. We are very close to being done on the state side. The Juniper routers need to go into the dispatch centers, state and local. Once that's done, other than some final closeout stuff that Monroe is delivering to us, we'll be done with that project from the state side. The DOD side still is kind of waiting for the weather to improve so they can complete some of the microwave work that they have on their sites. And their Juniper routers, part of their project hasn't started yet. The Juniper routers are required in order to switch over to Ethernet connectivity to all the sites, which will simplify and complicate. It simplifies in the sense that Ethernet is what most IT people deal with. What complicates it is we don't have IT people. So we don't really have the staff that are centralized doing that business. We have the staff that are spent the right wiring, T1 and stuff like that. It's changing technology, difficult to change staff's mindsets because it's two totally different things. But
overtime it happened. Unfortunately, today's last day for one of our most experienced people who are taking a federal job for pay raise and less stress. So we are losing one of the good people to troubleshoot those things when they happen. But if you know anybody that that likes to hope that the state salary is going to fix a pay problem and wants to come work for the state, we'll be having a job opening in our engineering side here pretty soon.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I'm going through the same, same training, learning how to do punch downs and networking we're building a new network site. So we have IT staff, but we don't have engineering specialists or telecom specialists who know how to do those things. So going through that right now. But thank you for your update. Anybody have anything else regarding that? Okay, how about moving on to DOD? No Tim Woodall today. All right. Well, we'll skip that. How about moving on to the state of Alaska component? DPS update. Do we have anything, Mr. Rockwell?
I'm going to punt it to Lieutenant Indrek.
We've just been trying to work on a few areas where we know there is not ALMR connectivity and looking at different options and talking to Scott and Mr. Fussy. And, it seems like the best solution is to build for about $1 million new ALMR site in those places. One of them being in the valley near Alaska Regional where there's, it's a terrain issue or that low ground there. The troopers have had a couple of incidents there where they couldn't communicate. So talked about different things that seems like the ultimate best solution. Alternatively, we would hope maybe the N70 series would solve that, depending on the LTE connectivity available in those areas. So we're still pushing up the chain that we need to try to buy some of those radios, but just keep looking at options to try to get connections. That's where we are.
All right, thank you, Lieutenant Henders. Moving on to DOT, is Mr. Henry Cole here?
Yeah, this is Henry Cole. I don't have anything to add. We're continuing to try and secure funding to enable us to purchase TDMA compliant radios for the bulk of the agency. We're one of the larger agencies with over 1,000 subscribers or units, and a small percentage of them are TDMA compliant now. So we're aware of the problem, trying to get funding for it, but as you all know, public agency funding is tricky and complicated. So that's all I've got for now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole, and I wish you well. Moving on to all others, I'll take that. Ms. Carl, do you have anything? Nope, you're nothing, Carl. So for MVA, we are working on getting TDMA capable radios. We almost had to purchase secure, but ended up losing it at the last minute, unfortunately. And of course, funding was the issue. But we are working on recovering that and looking at around 30 to 40 just handhelds, your portables at the moment, and then upgrading our mobiles to TDMA compliance. So that's where we're at this time.
This is Carl. Right. I heard my name. I missed the question, though. I apologize. I had somebody talking in my ear.
Not a problem, Carl. Hey, I was just talking about what we were doing through MVA. Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
I am in the process of buying radios like everybody else, and I got told yesterday that they're actually procurement will be working on it shortly. So that's kind of an excitement for me. Other than that, nothing to add.
Great. Thanks, Carl. I'll be waiting with bated breath. Moving on to the DOD. J-Bear.
No.
No one for J-Bear today. Come back, J-Bear.
Yeah, this is Sergeant Draves. I'm here.
Oh,
thank you, ma'am. Go ahead.
We have also been working on upgrading to TDMA. How many have you upgraded so far?
I feel like over 200, I think.
We've gotten over 200 flashes done so far. So things are so far going smoothly for us.
All right. Thank you very much, Sergeant Draves. Anybody else for J-Bear? Okay, moving on to Eielson, is Sergeant Rodriguez in?
Yes, sir, Sergeant Rodriguez. Things are still progressing slowly here. Coming back from the holidays, we're nailing down the plan to schedule and install those roughly 230 mobile radios that we got. We also have a lot of software upgrades to take care of, tackling that game plan, and should be starting shortly.
Okay, thank you, Sergeant Rodriguez. Anybody for the U.S. Army? Mr. Smith? How about Master Sergeant Dave Higginbotham? Hope I pronounced that right. Hearing nothing, let's move on to federal and non-DOD. How about Department of Justice? Mr. John Kuhn, are you on? Anybody for Department of Interior?
It's you.
Yeah, this is Ross of BLM Alaska Fire Service. Sorry I joined a little bit late, but letting you know that Alaska Fire Service is upgrading all of their handheld radios. In fact, we're in the process of programming them today to the BKR, which should be TDMA compliant. And we just need to upgrade our mobiles after that, which is about 40 or 50 mobiles. But all our handhelds should be TDMA compliant this year. End of report.
That's excellent. Thank you, Mr. Ross. How about all others? Is James Nelson in? Not Bobby Carter either. Okay, so we'll move on to the municipal component. So for the North, Keith Berrien.
Hello, everyone. Report at this time.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to Southeast, Aaron Kawara.
Hello, nothing from Southeast today.
Thank you, Aaron. And then Central, I know Tammy is out today. How about Jim Goodman?
Yeah, through the chair, may I speak to Scott Stormo, please?
Yes, sir. Floor is yours.
Mr. Stormo, it's Jim. May I give you a call after the meeting? I have an update for you.
Yes.
All right, thank you. That's it, Chair. That's thank it. You.
Thank you, Jim. Moving on to new business. Is there any new business to discuss today?
Mr. Chair, if I could, Bruce Richter from CISA. Just wanted to share my latest open source info on the SALT Typhoon threat from People's Republic of China. It's continues to be like reading a spy novel. January 2nd, three of the big telcos issued statements saying that they had eradicated the evidence of the SALT Typhoon intrusion from their networks. And January 6th, another press release came out saying there were three new victims of the attack. So I think the honest truth is people are still trying to get their hands around what the extent of that penetration really is. And if you saw the news about U.S. Treasury being a victim, the part of U.S. Treasury that was a victim was the companies that are subject to foreign sanctions. Just think what a brilliant espionage tactic that is to be able to go into that database and know which companies are being specifically targeted for sanctions and which companies you might have to set up a shell company to avoid those sanctions. It's it's a story that's going to continue. And I guess the big message is, if you're dependent on commercial telecoms for your infrastructure, just have a backup plan if they become unavailable to you. Also in the news, both in the Baltic Sea over by the coast of Denmark and off the Straits of Taiwan, there have been commercial cargo vessels dragging their anchor back and forth on the ocean floor, specifically to break communications undersea cables. And it's all going on right now. So that's my update.
Charming.
Thanks. Next, do we have an update concerning breaking tide votes, Mr. Fussy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So everyone, as a just a recap, and I thank everyone for voting multiple times, nothing in the user council charter explains if we have a tie. Now, keep in mind, we have six primary and six alternate. We have even number of individuals. So I did some research, and I'll bring it up here. So this is what I took off of the email that I sent out to the chairs and vice chair. So under Robert's Rules of Order, I'll pause just for a second. Can everybody see my screen? Thumbs up or anything? So, okay. So there's two options that I'm going to put out to the user council to amend the bylaws. For elections, if we look at Robert's Rules of Orders, which are parliamentary procedure, it specifically says tie votes in elections. Ordinarily, a tie vote in election means that another election must be held. However, it is possible to include a provision in your bylaws, and in case of a tie, the rule will be chosen by lot. Options include flipping a coin, drawing the long straw, and putting names in a hat, which are verbatim through Robert's Rules of Orders. And as you look through, they want to see other options. Under Alaska, we do have an Alaska statute, 15.20.530, determination of tie votes. And you can go to Alaska Division of Elections and find this. If they're after a recount and appeal, two or more candidates tie and having the highest number of votes for the same office, the director shall notify the candidates who are tied. The director shall notify the candidates at a reasonably suitable time and place to determine the successful candidate by lot. After the determination has been made by lot, the director shall self-certify. And then it goes on to a subtitle. By lot, to determine candidates eliminated, advance to the next round. A lot means, and they took it right from Robert's Rules of Order, flip a coin, draw a name, draw straws, and same applies to the tie for the last two remaining candidates. So if you have three candidates or more that are tied, you start breaking it down, flipping a coin, and that. So my suggestion to the user council would be to amend the user council charter and adding either Robert's Rules of Order provisions or verbatim through the Alaska state statute. So that's my report, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fussy. Any comments or questions on that?
Through the chair, I'd like to make a motion to amend the bylaws and adapt the Alaska state regulations regarding tie votes or determination of tie votes.
And my only comment to that is, who's the director? So
the director would be the chair.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's clear, because we're not sitting here thinking that the Division of Elections director is going to get involved in it, because that's what the statute is.
Yeah. Sure.
This is Henry Cole. I'd like to second the motion with a, if I can make an amendment with a second, or should I make that as a second motion?
Through the chair, Mr. Cole, you can make an amendment to that, but the amendment would have to be voted on to be added to the original motion per Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay, fair. Well, I'd like to second the initial motion in any case, and then move an amendment to to replace the director with Mary Burnham or whatever her current title, whatever that title is.
So through the chair, Mr. Cole, this is Paul. I want to make sure that your amendment would be change the director to the document specialist instead of just having Mary's name, the document specialist. That would be a way to be carried in perpetuity. Is that how I'm understanding it?
That's correct. Yeah, I was unaware of the title, but document specialist. Yes, thank you.
And we need a second to the amendment, Paul, before we vote. This is John Rock. I'd like to second that amendment.
So I'm opening the floor for discussions on the amendment as proposed and seconded. Anybody?
The only comment I'd just make in defense of the amendment is that the document specialist is unlikely or not going to be a candidate for chair, so that way there's clearly no conflict of interest.
That is correct. So with that, are we ready to have a vote on this amendment? All four?
All four, aye.
Aye. Right. Any abstentions?
If people could raise their hand on Teams if they know how to do that so I can get a count there.
Are we raising for yes or no?
So we do have a quorum for yes. The motion is adopted. So next we're going to be voting on the motion itself. The amendment has been adopted. Any objections to the motion? Okay, hearing none. The motion is passed as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what Mary and I will do, we will update the user council with the amended motion as it is written. And per the bylaws, this is a significant change. So it will have to go out to the user council and to all the members for their approval of the change to the user council charter. Because this is a significant change. And per the charter, anything of significance, and this is definitely a significant change, will go out. So expect an email from Mary with the changes, everyone take a look at it and to approve as amended.
Okay, with that, that part is over. So.
Can I mention something else maybe for other new business topics at some point? Sure. That reminded me of other conversations we've had over the years. The municipality of Anchorage is an infrastructure owner in Alaska Land Mobile Radio, yet they are not a voting member of the user council or the executive council. My understanding that's historical because NLR came before A1 and the charters were never looked at to address that fact. We obviously can't upgrade the system releases without the muni doing it. It seems like something we should at least consider that they should be part of the, or have the opportunity to vote on these measures, because a lot of those things require the user council and executive council to vote on, and one of the primary infrastructure owners doesn't actually have the right to vote on either of those. So just
not making a motion or anything. I'm not doing that. I'm just thinking we need to look at the charters a little deeper and look at how to maybe make sure they're brought up to speed and include what today is, because they were written 20 years ago at that point in time. So Muni's not here to comment on that right now. But.
Right.
This is Henry Cole. I just would, I guess, add to that that my own opinion is that if we have a way to amend the charter to offer a seat on the user council to the municipality, I don't know what that would take. That seems like it'd be even more significant of a change, but I think that's a reasonable decision given what you just said, Scott.
At that point, they would be a voting member.
Right.
Each other. Well, I certainly don't want to, comment on their behalf. So, this is worth looking at, though, I believe.
And since this is an open discussion, right now, the municipalities, North, Central, and South, are represented as primary voting members here, right? So that means that would be, Central? The municipality of Anchorage would be considered essential. And so I somewhat disagree with that they don't have a voice. I don't disagree that, we could make them special because they are an owner. But the way the charter is listed, it is regional, more so than who owns what.
So maybe it's more of a executive council charter? Because the voting members on the executive council are not this far down. It's DOD, state, and is it just non-DOD Fed rep? Is it just those three that vote?
Yeah. Correct.
It's executive council, not user council.
Right. And the non-DOD Fed is not an infrastructure owner, and maybe the Muni should be on there as a voter, and if the non-DOD heads are on there, maybe we should have the Alaska Municipal League as well. But that's an executive council conversation, I guess. As long as, and again, if I was the Muni, I would argue that I still want to vote on here, so I would almost say make Anchorage another municipal component would be my stance. I don't think they're overly concerned about it, because I know they talk to us enough and they do what they need to do behind the scenes. But if it was really something that was important to the whole system, we can't do anything if they don't agree and don't do it. So
and again, just for clarification on the executive charter, the municipality is listed but not as a voting member. And so I agree that it would be good to bring up to the executive council to maybe change their bylaws to include the municipality of Anchorage as a voting member. Currently, we have Captain Gina Burrington as representation, and so that would just elevate that position somewhat to be included in the voting role. Good catch, Scott. I know we've talked about it before, but we haven't had any action on it. And so I wonder if we should have an action item, Mary, to have the user councils somehow bring up to the executive council in the next meeting.
Or even just do kind of more deeper dive for each of the charters to look, and maybe there's other stuff in there too that might need to be thought about. I just brought that one up because it's something we've talked about before, and I realized when he was talking about changing the charter that refreshed my memory, but maybe a deeper look at each one of those charters just to make sure they're still accurately reflecting what our situation is today. And I don't know what the process for that is.
Everybody can view the user council charter and the executive council charter through the website. So everybody could review it without me having to send everybody then, but I could send it out to everybody. And ask for them to read through everything.
Yeah. Anybody else could add something? Okay. Is there any further new business that we want to discuss? Even though it's not on the script here. Okay, hearing nothing. Our next meetings are scheduled for February 5th and March 5th. And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, John Lockwell.
And a second.
Kyle Green, second.
All right, and we are adjourned for the day.
Well, I don't think it's official until you...
Oh, gavel? They gave me this club. All right, here we go. We are out for the day.
Thank you, everybody.